Hello everyone, and welcome to another recap race analysis here on the Second Date Extra. As always, it's great to have Mr. Credo himself here, Mr. Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, we had stage 15. It seemed like it was going to be a simple stage on paper, but it turned out not to be so.
Exactly, the stage from Rodez to Carcassonne was a long one, over 200 kilometers, but in 40 degrees temperatures. In terms of the stage, we had a breakaway that went up the road. It included Wout van Aert as well as Nils Pollitt and Miguel Honoré. Van Aert sort of gave up in the breakaway, so it's just down to Pollitt and Honoré for most of the stage. Until 60k to go, they were caught over the top of the Category 3 climb. On this climb, there was a move launched by Benjamin Thomas, which was followed soon by Alexis Goujard. They stayed together for a lot of this run to the line. Benjamin Thomas said farewell to Alexis Goujard with about 5k to go. Dashed off on his own, led the group into the final 500 meters, but got swamped on the final straight. On the final straight, however, there was a battle for the sprinters, or at least a reduced bunch of sprinters after a difficult day, punished by Trek Segafredo in particular, who dropped Hunebe, who dropped many of the sprinters, including Fabio Jakobsen, who could not contend the final sprint. It was a slightly smaller bunch. But Jasper Philipsen has been climbing well at the Tour de France. He's been second and third for the past 2 years in the Tour de France. Finally got the big win and finally got a Tour de France stage win, edging out Wout van Aert and Mats Pedersen on the line to take the victory. And in terms of the yellow jersey battle, it all stays the same. But one thing I didn't mention during the main stages recap is the fact that yellow jersey Jonas Vingegaard did come down in a crash during this stage, as did many Jumbo-Visma riders, including Wout van Aert, who came down in the crash, including Thijs Benoot, who came down in the crash. So big problems for them. And to add insult to injury, Stefan Kreiswijk had to abandon the stage as well. So not great news for Jumbo-Visma, but they remain in control of the race as the yellow jersey.
Yeah, absolutely horrid day for Jumbo-Visma, but we'll start with today's winner, Jasper Philipsen, winning for Alpecin de Koenig. Absolutely tremendous riding from him. And Ewan, what did you think of his climbing?
Yeah, Jasper Philipsen was looking super strong throughout this Tour de France. He'd been climbing well, was up there in second place in Calais, looked good there. Even on some of these reduced sort of hilly sprints, Jasper Philipsen was further up than we would have thought he would be. So, I mean, it's not a surprise. In the stream, I picked him as the favorite, and I think he's been so close to winning for so long, it felt right that he would win this today, and he did. His team left things very, very late. They didn't chase on. They were a bit complacent, to be honest, for a lot of the stage, but they happened to be there for the final dash to the line, and Jasper Philipsen finally gets it right. He had to sprint against the barriers and sort of wrestle his way through, but he is the fastest man in a finish like this. He's got that pure acceleration and speed. But Philipsen really is just in that top echelon of sprinters. And now he has this Tour de France stage win. He can use that as bragging rights.
Yeah, it was a bad day for the other sprinters, that's for sure. But one team that put a lot of effort in here on that final Castro's climb was the team who finished ultimately third with Mats Pedersen. And do you think it was a bit of a mistake by Trek Segafredo here? They had so many cards to play. They had Quinn Simmons, they had Jasper Stuyven, but instead of throwing them up the road, they were just using them to pace it back. And Jasper Philipsen ultimately was just having an armchair ride here all the way to the finish.
Yeah, but then Jasper Stuyven still delivered Mats Pedersen in the best place in the lead out. Mats Pedersen, in theory, was the best placed rider. So I think whether they did the work or not, Mats wouldn't have won. It still would have been Philipsen. Maybe Jakobsen. If Jakobsen didn't drop so early on in the stage, he could have been up there and won this. He seems to be a fast guy as well. But yeah, I you can say what ifs and buts, but Trek Segafredo, they tried really hard on the climb. They wanted to drop Hunebeke. Ultimately, they wiped out Hunebeke and Christoph and some of these other sort of second-tier sprinters from getting up there in the end. And Pedersen, third place is good for him. I don't think he's going to win a stage here anymore. I think he's tried so hard, but there just seems to be faster people.
Yeah, I don't really think Mats Pedersen is one of the top pure sprinters. He's definitely not that, but a third place, I mean, if he was going to do something, he should have followed the move of two plucky Frenchmen for sure. But out of a group where there's a Philipsen and a Wout van Aert on a non-uphill, I don't think he's got any chance. But nonetheless, the team that had the worst day was, of course, Jumbo-Visma. And Ewan, how do you think it's going to be with having lost Steven Kruijswijk for another Tour de France? And now we're coming to the mountains. Well, a very, very important week next week. So do you think this yellow jersey could be under threat, having lost Kruijswijk and Jonas Vingegaard coming down and Thijs Benoot coming down?
Also, to add sort of cherry on the cake, Primož Roglič had to abandon as well before the stage due to injury too. Roglič, who was doing a lot of work in the mountains on the Col de Granon stage, Kruijswijk was up there on the Col de Granon stage, looking like one of the best helpers, really. This puts extra emphasis on Sepkus, to be honest. Sepkus, who's been sort of cruising a bit, looking good at the outdoor stage, but waiting in the wings. But now he's going to have a big, big responsibility because he has to make up for the loss of Roglič, the loss of Kruijswijk. Who knows where Wout van Aert's going to be in the mountains? We can't really second guess him. Thijs Benoot was dropped early on, didn't chase back really. Not looking as sprightly, Thijs Benoot, but it's not the best signs for the team. Kruijswijk is a huge loss. But we saw last year, Vingegaard, he didn't have many teammates. I mean, half of them pulled out before the Pyrenees, for instance, and he still managed to finish in second place without much team support, really. And I would assume similar is going to happen this year, but Pogacar, knowing that Jumbo-Visma is sort of, they're going to have this big wobble. They're going to have to use their people up a little bit differently. They might try to profit off this. And with McNulty and Micah still looking pretty healthy, pretty good in this race. We saw them up towards the front today, keeping Pogacar safe. Soler looked good to Mond as well. Maybe we see UAE profit off of this Jumbo-Visma bad luck.
Yeah, we saw yesterday that Tadej Pogačar isn't one to even not attack from 180k out. So potentially this could spur Pogačar on to try and attack from outright, well, out far. But Wout van Aert, do you think he has to halt this green jersey escapade now for a few stages to make up for the fact that they don't have Steven Kruijswijk here?
Probably, because, I mean, he's sewn up the green jersey, we believe, as long as he stays in his bike until Paris. So he would have to put that to the side and now become a helper. He shouldn't do these sort of attacks on his own and sort of have the Wout van Aert show, the Wout van Aert experience. I think it should be all hands on deck in order to help Vingegaard, because the loss of Kruijswijk, the loss of Roglic, two big blows for this team. And if they really want to play out Pogacar with tactics and team numbers, which they have been doing to some extent up until this point, then Wout has to be on board for this.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens, what next week delivers. But finishing on something that hasn't happened this year, those two plucky Frenchmen out the front almost looked like they were doing it. But Ewan, the French haven't taken a stage with victory of this year's Tour de France. It's a bit of a shame. But if we're looking anywhere, do you actually see it happening at all?
A mountain breakaway, you could say. We've lost Wawa, which is a big blow for the mountain breakaways. Warren Barguil has gone home due to COVID. Elsewhere, I dare say Bardet or Godu. I just don't think they have it in them to topple Pogacar or Vingegaard. I'm struggling. They've lost a couple of their big guys as well. Aurélien Paré-Peintre as well, not really striking quite so well. Pinot has been close in the breakaways, but hasn't been able to take the win. Is that going to change now? He's tried twice and hasn't managed to strike. Is he now going to get a Pyrenean stage? I don't know. It's not going to be in the sprints, I can tell you that.
So anyways, finishing on that note, unfortunately for any French cycling fans, it doesn't look like it will be your time this year's Tour de France. But with that, make sure to check out this Cycling Dane main channel where we have the live commentaries. We have the rest day tomorrow, so we're going to have a few videos coming out on that, of course. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the stream, and comment down below what you thought of the stage today. And as always, thank you very much for watching and have a nice day.